The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galantine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Critics say you won't be able to tear your eyes away. Now, that is a good series, if that's the case.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Baby making isn't simple, and trust me, I know from experience. There is also a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant.
We spend our lives trying to prevent unwanted pregnancy, but when you do want to conceive, there's a lack of understanding and resources.
Free to Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby, with a set of solutions for everything from egg and sperm health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby.
Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible. From ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits, Frida makes baby making simple.
Find your Frida Fertility on Amazon, Target, and select CVS near you.
Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
All right, you guys, I had to race back to do the pod because it has been the most eventful 24 hours. As you guys know, Tamara is still like not well. The recovery is brutal on her surgery. And thankfully, my friend Justin Anderson is joining us.
Justin, what's up, girl?
I miss you so much since BravoCon. Like, doesn't that feel like 6 years ago?
It feels like 6 years ago, absolutely. And I miss you so much. But thank God for social media for keeping us connected. But we got to find a way to quiet down all the Bravo chatter on social media so we can just enjoy life.
I know. It has been a lot. But this morning, everybody was tuned in to the Jen Shah sentencing this morning. Okay, so she comes in. No filter with Zach. The blogger points out that she's like trying to channel Teresa, and she's like in leopard for her.
Oh my God, I didn't even notice that.
Oh my gosh, she's right. But she's got like the leopard, like it's like the more demure version because it's like tan leopard, but like she's still going for it. She goes in. The first thing we need to discuss before we even talk about the sentencing is, do you remember when she was selling Jen Shah merch?
Yeah, I mean, she's literally made a joke out of this the entire time. It's the craziest thing in the world to watch. And like, I can't even watch her on the show anymore. I love all Housewives and I see the good. She just like makes me feel icky, you know, because it's like she's not taking any accountability at all. But yeah, she was selling merch.
Selling merch. And now for her to have these big statements like Miss Shah lost for months in an echo chamber of her own denial, her lawyer, Pia Chaudhry, said she found herself staring at her truth and the depth of her wrongs, and she hurt them and they were real and there was no more lying. Shaw's eager to pay her debt to society. And when she's a free woman again, she will pay her debts to the victims. She promises to set an example. When Shaw's defense lawyer started to discuss all the good things her client has done in recent times, Stein appeared incredulous. What good things could she have been doing? Calling elderly people and selling them business opportunities, and they would max out their credit cards and get the person to put an additional credit and then upsell them for their other products. The judge rhetorically asked, if there's good in that, I can hear it. Then the final thing was, people have watched her ruin her life and ruin the lives of other families. And the punishment is very personal and real. Listen, the thing I need to ask you about, she ends up getting sentenced to what is it? 6.5 years, 6.5 years.
Right.
Do you think that's enough?
I don't. I mean, I think, you know, it's a hot topic, but the Chrisleys are going to prison for 12 years and they didn't affect anyone else. Right. It was their own. I don't really know the whole thing about it, but it was about their money and what they didn't pay in taxes or whatever. But Jen, like, actually harmed other people, made people go bankrupt, ruined other people's lives. And she has a lesser sentence than the Chrisleys. Like, we just live in such a wild time. Like, I don't understand how all that stuff works, but.
I was hoping you were going to bring that up because I looked into it. And I mean, granted, the Chrisleys, I think, owe something like $30 million. But the difference is the Chrisleys, you know, allegedly it was throughout the government. So now if you do something bad to the government, it's way worse than doing something bad to elderly people. Like, what does that say?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's the craziest thing that she got less time. The thing that's so crazy, so like a year ago, I had posted something on social media, like kind of talking about Jen being guilty or whatever. And all these people were commenting under it, talking about it. And then she came in and commented, I don't know Jen, you know, I've never met her, whatever. But she came into my comment section and wrote, I can't wait till you see that I'm innocent or something. Like, she commented it. And I'm like, bitch, you want to answer now? Like, you want to, like, it's just so crazy. Like, she should have been quiet the entire time, or like, she just played it all wrong. Like, she deserves all of this. She did it to herself. It's hard to feel sorry for the family, her family, you know, when she's doing the whole crying thing. It's like, but you did this and you knew you did this the whole
time. And so did your husband. I mean, I don't know this for sure, but like, there's messages between Coach Shaw, like helping them do this.
Absolutely. Yeah, that came out, that there were like text messages. Also, it's like, your husband, who is a coach at a university, knows what his salary is, right? And it's like, if your wife is doing something that's like allowing her to buy that much shit and you're filling in your house, at some point you're gonna be like, babe, where is this money coming from? Maybe I should go into that business, or like, maybe we should bring, like,
especially because this is way before Housewives. Like, people, you know, sometimes will go on Housewives, start a new business, and then all of a sudden start making a ton more money because Housewives brings, you know, more awareness to whatever your business is. We never even knew what her business was on The Housewives. So this, her business did not grow due to Housewives.
Exactly. But she couldn't even explain what the business was on Housewives, you know? And the crazy thing is, it's so funny. Like, you can't go on The Housewives and think you're going to get away with that. Like, we all know that, but it just shocks me that these people, like, you didn't think that was going to come out. Like, I don't know. You're putting yourself in front of the whole world, and you need to own it and apologize to all of us for taking us down this crazy ass wild goose chase.
And also for her to now try to show all this sadness and remorse. And we're like, we're watching you currently. The season is still airing. And we, like, next week is even a bigger fight about how innocent you are. You're upset at Dana, you know, all of these different things. But there's a couple additional from Inner City Press tweets. I only met her with a few. There are thousands of victims. There are more than 1,000 on the restitution order. The call for punishment here is grave. Judge Stein, Ms. Shaw, I'm prepared to listen to you. Jen Shaw, you and the world know me as Jen Shaw. And then, then she goes into her whole history. I mean, all of you guys have seen this pretty much everywhere. It's impossible to escape it. But I think the biggest, you know, all of the additional things coming out during it is during Jen Shaw's federal case, they come up with the 2019 restraining order where she was having an affair, allegedly, with another woman's husband. And then that woman got a restraining order. Like, this is just a person that continuously shows up to hurt people.
Exactly. No. And it's, I love some messy on Housewives. I think it's so fun. I enjoy it. Like, I don't get mad when people are messy on Housewives, but watching Jen, it's like, you can tell it's really, really dark. Even like, you're in that kind of trouble, and seeing the way that she's acting on this season, It's like, that is a woman that is unhinged. I mean, the way she like pushed Lisa Barlow, throwing the shoes off of the boat, like the whole thing is just messy and gross. Like, she should be acting like a saint. Like, holy shit, I'm in trouble. I'm going to prison. I'm going to act like a saint this season. And she's not at all. It's like, I don't feel sorry at all. And I think she's disgusting.
Who would have thought Mary Cosby was right the whole time?
Oh, yeah. Bring Mary back.
Bring Mary back?
I don't think that Mary would come back. Although now that Jen's gone, she might just to like have the last say or whatever. But I don't know if they'll bring it back. You know, it's like, why did they ever get rid of Mary?
Well, I think once Mary's church and everything came under fire, I think Mary was just done. Remember, Mary didn't show up to the reunion.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you don't show up to the reunion, you get kicked. But I'm sure she would have come back. But I hope she comes back.
Which leads us to Lisa Rinna. This is on, it's released through People Magazine yesterday. Lisa Rinna leaves The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills after 8 seasons. Lisa Rinna is saying goodbye to The Real Housewives. And her quote to People was, "This is the longest job I've held in my 35-year career. And I'm grateful to everyone at Bravo and all those involved in the series. It has been a fun 8-year run and I'm excited for what is to come." A representative for Rinna told The Hollywood Reporter, "Given that Lisa's contract was up at the end of last season and after taking time to weigh her current options and business obligations, Lisa and Bravo have discussed and mutually decided that she will not be returning to Beverly Hills."
So tell us, Teddy, did she quit?
I think, okay, well, first and foremost, I want to say, like, I am sad that this happened.
I'm so sad.
I feel like we don't know the full extent to what happened, but I do know that she's given us great television for a lot of years and some of the moments that will live in, you know, housewife history forever. And Twitter won.
Yeah.
Twitter won.
No, Twitter won. Lisa Rinna is an iconic housewife. We'll forever talk about her, but you're exactly right. That's what I've just been so frustrated about this morning. You have to realize that, like, these really loud people on the internet are not the majority. You know, like, all of our friends that we're talking to, when we go out to dinner, if housewives come up, we're all laughing. We're like, oh, yeah, Lisa's great TV, all that kind of stuff. But when you start reading the Twitter and the comment stuff, those are really spooky people who are like taking this stuff really personally, like, fire her, I'll never watch this show again. First of all, you are going to watch the show. You're obsessed, you know? But yeah, most of these people, like, I really think they're like, they're in a dark basement at their parents' house and they see something in Lisa that maybe reminds them of a toxic family member in their family. And they're like getting really personal with it. But it's like, can the rest of us just enjoy really good TV? Like, are any of us watching Bravo for role models to like see how to act? It's like, Lisa's fabulous. Like, the season runs because of Lisa Rinna. Cut it out. Stop trying to get these people
and
fired.
And I'm sorry, some of the other girls on that show are need to be shaken in their boots, because the fact of having to do that dirty work and stir it when everybody else is trying to be like everybody's favorite is not
a fun job. Teddy, people don't realize that. I mean, you and I have both done reality TV. I see what happens behind the camera. Like, you need those people who really show up, who keep the storyline moving. You need a pot stirrer. You need someone who will say the stuff that nobody else wants to. And I totally agree with you. It's like, they don't realize that, like, if you take Lisa out and just leave the group we have right now, it will be crickets. Like, them just sitting there trying to, like,
let's play best. Do you think that they're going to bring Denise Richards back?
That's the storyline we want to see, is Lisa and Denise back together. You know, it's like, my dream is that they'd bring Brandy back, but also I want to see Brandy and Lisa interact. You know, like, Lisa's just the one that, like, you always want to see what she's going to do.
She's a loose cannon, like, you want to watch.
Yeah, you guys, and if you're listening to this podcast, it's like, I get it. You don't want to be friends with Lisa. You don't want to sit at a table with her. You don't want to bring her around your group of friends. But, like, we are watching entertainment. It's like, I'm so sick of these shows going flat. You know, it's like, you get rid of Stassi on Vanderpump Rules, the show is flat. You can't even watch it, you know? You get rid of Ramona from New York, the show's boring as all hell, you know? It's like when Bethany left, Tamra and Vicky leaving OC. OC was unwatchable. And you have to realize that, like, you need these characters for a show to happen, you know? It's like, That's why we watch. Bravo built the whole network off of controversial characters.
And that's the point. When you're watching an actual scripted show or a drama or anything like that, I watch those shows and I still pick people that I love or I relate to. And the ones that I don't, that I'm like, ah, she's the worst character. I watch reality television the same way.
Yes, it's conversation starter. I want to watch a show and be angry at someone. I want to be like, oh my God, why are they doing that? But it doesn't change my life. Calm down. All these women signed up for it. They know what the game is, you know? It's like, and they are. They're going to be bored and they're going to miss Lisa Rinna. They're going to be like, holy shit, this is all on our shoulders now.
I wonder if partially, though, she started doing it to herself. Remember when all of the stuff was taken off social media and she blocked all the bloggers and, you know, like those types of things. That being said, from somebody who has been attacked brutally on Twitter for months and months and months, I can understand needing to block yourself from that noise.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I also think that that's why I think social media should be taken away, because it's hard as a person when people are coming for you. Of course, you want to fight back. But I think that was Lisa's biggest problem, is that she fought back. And when you fight back with the fans that much, like they turn on you, they just go harder. You have to just like cut that noise off. Do your job, do the show, and then don't look at social media. Don't. Yeah. When she reacted, that's when you really lose it. Yeah.
Do you think she'll be back? Do you think she's just on pause?
I think they'll absolutely bring her back, but I feel like she might be one of those people that leaves and realizes how much better her life is without the show, meaning like her own sanity, you know?
Yeah.
Those shows drive you crazy. No matter what anybody says, all that chatter in your life all the time really messes with you. So she might find some peace. Also, Lisa Rinna will forever work. You know, like she'll always have jobs. You know, she'll always be a recognizable face. She'll be fine. But I think that we really are losing out. Like, we lost this one. Lisa didn't. She'll be fine. She'll figure it out. But we lost.
This perfectly sums up Lisa Rinna. So we were texting last night and, you know, just going through it.
So did she quit? Say it. What did she tell you?
That part I did not. It's not my business.
Such a liar. What did she tell you?
I have to go off what Radar Online is saying. Radar Online.
Oh my God.
That credible source says Lisa Rinna announces Real Housewives. And then it's according to Radar Online, the Real Housewives Beverly Hills star for season 13 following an all-out contract war, Radar Online has learned. Rinna exit comes months after we exclusively reported that she was renegotiating her contract with Bravo. Sources told this outlet that Rinna was demanding $2 million a season, which would make her the highest paid housewife of any franchise ever. At this point, Bravo needs Lisa more than Lisa needs Bravo. She was a star before Bravo and will be a star long after Bravo too. Insider spilled in September. The source continued by claiming that Rinna wasn't scared of walking away if she didn't get what she wanted. Lisa knows her worth and knows how to negotiate. Only Lisa is willing to call their bluff and walk away if she doesn't get the deal she wants. While the other ladies are frightened to upset Andy, Lisa is fearless. She is not frightened of him or anyone else. I can only say this. This doesn't sound like it was written by a complete outsider.
Right. No, and I mean, I think Lisa's worth all the bucks at Bravo. I think, yeah, so I think that they'll figure out that they need her, and I do think she'll come back. I hope she does. But like I said, I don't know if she'll realize it's just not worth it for her own sanity. But Radar is funny. Isn't Lisa Vanderpump the main editor there? Isn't she the writer?
No, we got to get into Lisa Vanderpump in a second. But Lisa Rinna's response when I said, anything that you want me to say on your behalf on the podcast tomorrow. And she wrote, yes, please. Let them know that the national launch of Rinna Wines is February 13th.
I mean, it's so good. It's so good. The other thing is like, Lisa's also one of those people in reality TV, like that her fans are diehards. You know, it's like with this, I want to go out and buy all the wine that I can. You know, I want to tell everyone to go buy all of her lip stuff, whatever. Like she has a diehard fan base, so it doesn't matter.
And I think that, I mean, I do think we just got to see what happens. It goes from there. But what really pissed me off more than anything last night was this tweet. Lisa Vanderpump, ding dong. Okay. First off, that's what everybody said when she was gone. And the reason she doesn't have any actual real friendships that can be sustained because she cares more about likes on Twitter than she does about people.
Yeah, and, I mean, you say that, but Lisa Vanderpump has like a massive fan base and people love her. But I know what you're saying.
I meant people within the yes. show were all yeah, saying yeah, that.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I think that Lisa Vanderpump is way different than the fans think she is, you know, so it's like that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, she's all about getting her followers to like her. It's so funny, though, because it's like I knew Lisa Rinna in person in Los Angeles. You're friends with her. Lisa, it's so funny to me because she's the coolest, nicest person ever. We used to go to the same gym all the time, and she was like the person. She'd come to the gym. Everyone wanted to talk to her. She was always really positive, nice to everyone. At the salon, she was the same way. Lisa never misses a party, Lisa Rinna. So every party you go to, everyone's talking to her or whatever. So then seeing the show, I get it. She kind of plays a bit of a character, and she plays into it, which is great TV. She does the job. She's worth the money. But she's very different than people think, you know, and I just think she's so lovable, you know, and it's so it's like maybe I see it in a different way just because I love her as a person. But Lisa Vanderpump, I mean, not so much.
Well, I think here's the thing. Also, Lisa Vanderpump, this isn't like to come at her. This is just if you publicly say, I can't be bothered by all these housewife things anymore.
Oh, God.
So lame. I'm so above all of it. And then, you know, I saw on Twitter, they're all upset because she didn't comment on Vivian Westwood passing away, but makes the time to comment on Lisa Rinna no longer being on the show. And it's like, this is just, I actually had to take deep breaths and be like, Teddy, don't respond something on Twitter. Like, just honestly, reel it in and let's just, you can talk about it tomorrow.
I mean, her tweet was pretty funny. It was fucking really funny, actually, you know, but it goes back to that thing. Like, she absolutely cares about all the housewife stuff. She's also found a way to make money without having to be on the show, but still kind of keep her toe in the show as much as she needs to, which is fine. It's a strategy that she figured out, but it's just like, I just see through that. I think I've heard too much. I know too much. And
I'm fine. I would have been fine with this comment. If she would take ownership that she's still invested in the show and looks at Twitter and has the time to sit there on her iPad all day long looking at the Twitter comments. I know
exactly.
That's who she is.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's pretty much the majority of the housewife headlines. Is there anything else that we missed before we get into what happened on last night's episode? Oh, there's another headline I want to ask you about. You were in the press over New Year's.
Oh, yeah, I was. What was that about? What happened?
So you were with Kristen Cavallari, who I'm obsessed with. She's like my girl crush. And Tyler Cameron was there. You guys were all hanging out together. And it was like wild. Like, other than like the Jen Shaw sentencing, I was seeing this everywhere. Is everybody just pals? Friends with benefits, well, little juicy
everyone,
nuggets.
you know, Kristen is my best friend forever, right? And it's funny, I know that everyone's going to ask me about Kristen. And you know me, I'm like, I don't hold back at all. I'll say anything. But it's too early and it's not my place to say what it is. But I will say I absolutely love Tyler. I think he's the hottest man I've ever seen in person. Like he's so sweet with that. We all had fun that weekend. It was the six of us together. It's so funny too, because those kind of things, I start seeing all the chatter start to happen and people speculate and they're like, no, Tyler was just at the same party that they were at and Kristen and him just said hi to each other. I'm like, you guys, we're all at a table together.
Yeah,
it was six
I was like,
us.
Please, this is clearly like, this is a planned situation. This is not, oh, I just bumped into you and let's sit down and have dinner.
Yeah. So we were all together and he's a great guy. I love him. Who knows what is happening for real with that. But I do know that like Kristen's in a great place in her life, that she's not in a rush to do anything. You know, her focus is her business and her kids. And it would take someone really, really special to take Kristen off the market. That's pretty much all I can say about that. But we had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
So in closing, talking about Beverly Hills, who's like your MVP now of Beverly Hills?
My MVP, you know, you're not going to love this, but I absolutely love Kathy Hilton. I'm friends with her in real life. And I think she's so fun on the show. So I love her. But I can be very honest too. I don't think that Kathy brings that element to the show that's going to like make storylines happen. I think Kathy's a really good side character, right? So it's like MVP. It's not going to be Kathy. I think that it's, I think the show's going to have a hard time. I really do. I don't think that Erica's that person. I don't think she can be that person. Crystal's not, Sutton's not. Kyle to me is very much a side character. I love her, but she's never like the main one starting stuff and all that.
I
So,
think Kyle's the glue that kind of holds
No,
the group together,
Kyle's
or
the,
else it would
she's
be
the,
a complete separation.
absolutely. She's like the staple of the show, and it would be devastating if she ever left. I think Garcelle is amazing, fabulous TV. She's such a strong woman. I love watching her, but she's not the main person. So I think they're really going to have a hard time. Who am I missing?
We've
Oh,
got
Dorit, Dorit. Dorit's fun. She looks pretty. I can't wait
she's
to see
so
what Dorit's
pretty.
wearing. I love Dorit, but my goodness, has she had a slow couple of seasons? But she
That
dresses the part.
she looks hot. But yeah, no, there's, and I mean, I love that we don't even need to talk about it, but I would assume that Diana is gone. I can't imagine
Oh
she is not.
yeah, Diana will be the main diamond holder. Diana's gonna hold the whole season together this year. If she shows up, she's really gonna hold it together. It'll be Diana Jake Gibbs. It was Lisa Rinna. Lisa was that part, and you just took away the main part of the show. Also, when all the fans are hating so much on one person, or half the fans are and half of them are loving them, you know that that character is, you pay that character to keep them around. Lisa was the last person you should take out of that cast because she made that show what it is and what it's been.
I really wouldn't know anything about the negativity because I'm so loved.
Yeah. Housewife sweetheart, you're definitely Miss Congeniality.
It's like, everyone's obsessed with me. I'm like, enough already. Let's take a little break and then we'll come back and we'll do recaps for Miami and Salt Lake City.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you
sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. We're going to talk a little bit about Miami. I'm obsessed with Miami.
I'm absolutely obsessed. I think it's the best right now. I need everyone to watch it.
I need everyone to watch it too. I think what I love the most about Miami is that my favorite switches from week to week. Like last week,
yes.
I complained about Marisol the whole time. Like I was like, she is driving me nuts. This shtick with the alcohol is driving me nuts. But this episode, Alexia and Gertie were so annoying to me that I was like, you know what? Marisol was that breath of fresh air I needed.
Teddy, I cannot agree more. That exact same thing happened to me this week because I listened to your podcast, the last one with Brandy, and I was laughing because I was agreeing with you about Marisol. So when I watched last night, all of a sudden in my head, I was like, oh, wait, I love Marisol, though. I can't tell Teddy how much I love her now. But it switched for me. It's like all of a sudden I fell in love with her. And Miami really does that. Every week I change who I'm in love with. My consistent, though, is Alexia is my girl. I'm obsessed with her so much. Even when she says the wrong thing, I love her so much.
When she said the wrong thing, I think she realized she said the wrong thing and just didn't know how to fully apologize and then like doubled down like I'm the star.
Well, and the beauty of that is like that is life. I want to watch reality TV. How many dinners have we been at that somebody at the table says something, you're like, like that didn't sound very good, and they're like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, like I didn't mean it that way, I meant it this way. Like everybody has said something and they have to backtrack a little bit. As long as they kind of apologize and they mean it, we should move on like we do in real life. What happened with her and Julia is Julia didn't let it go. Like Sorry, that was last week. You've already covered this.
I know, but first couple things I'm sorry, Julia. I need you to up your confessional outfit game. I need it. That prom dress or like cotillion dress, listen, and this is coming from the most unfashionable ex-housewife, according to Dorit, me. I am not the best dressed by any means. But like, Bravo used to approve our outfits. So like, who's letting this happen? Who?
Well, it's so funny because I absolutely agree. And I was thinking the thing was, is like, she's one of those girls that's always probably been able to go off of her look. She's a beautiful girl. She's a model, you know, so she's the type that's like, oh, I'll just throw this dress on and show up. But when you're on a show like that and you're lit the way you're lit up on an interview and everything, like everything needs to be done. That's why all these outfits are over the top. Everyone's in competition with one another. And yeah, it looks like my mom's on an interview, you know. It's just like, I want her to do more.
It's like I showed up right now to the confessional and I'm like, let's go. Sweaty, red as a tomato from hot yoga. And
wait,
like,
can I just say, like, do you agree? Like, I can't watch Julia's storyline. Like, the show is so good. And every time it goes to Julia's storyline for me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear about this, like, at all. I'm not interested in the storyline.
Well, I'm not interested in like her. The only thing I'm interested in is Martina. Like, yeah. To me, Martina is a goat. Like if you want lessons on how to diffuse a situation, like when Larsa comes in and starts saying it to Martina.
Oh my God, like, that was so good.
She made Larsa look like a donkey. Like she was like, yeah, okay, anyway.
100%. She didn't let it affect her at all. Which, by the way, I don't think she was putting a front on. It was just like, this is so dumb. I'm not playing into this game. But that whole thing is so dumb to me because it's like, Julia made out with a guy friend. You know, it's like, let's not try to turn this. But I don't know, maybe because I'm a gay man and it's like, I've been drunk at parties before and like made out with a girlfriend of mine. And it's like, it's funny, you know? And it's like,
here's the thing. I think it really depends on your relationship. Regardless if I made out with a gay guy, a girl, another man, my husband would be upset.
Like if you and I made out at BravoCon.
He would be pissed. He would be like, not because of like jealousy, but to him it's like respect.
No, that is disrespectful. Actually, that is very disrespectful because I think about that too. You know, I've been in a relationship for 8 years. If he met out with anyone, I would be offended. But I always think like a best friend, maybe, and it was silly and you're being playful. But yeah, it is. It's disrespectful to your relationship.
Especially if, and her and Julia's reasoning as, I'm a public person and I wanted to give a little show.
Oh, God.
Even more so if you're a public person, like out of respect. But you don't know what, here's the thing. We don't know what their situation is, like what their rules are. Every relationship's different.
Yeah, so they could have an open relationship.
Yeah, I mean, and you could tell by Martina's response. I feel like all Martina cares about is like, she wants attention from Julia. Like it meant the world to her that, you know, Julia jumped in the water and they had that moment of kissing, and
that was a
she
cute
came out
moment.
With her Crocs and all the things. Like,
I love a lesbian pair of Crocs. I mean, there's nothing better than
a lesbian.
I mean,
they weren't even
Crocs.
They were like generic Crocs. I was like, okay. So, but to start us back, oh, well, one other thing we do need to talk about in regards to the donkey. I was dying with the poor donkey getting dragged around with the diaper hanging off, poop on the floor. They're fighting over the hooking up. And then there's just like this donkey, like.
Well, and Marisol's commentary was hilarious. I mean, the way that she was explaining the situation, I mean, that was just such a hot mess. You have a goat walking around your house with a saggy
diaper. Oh, that's what I meant, a goat. Did I say donkey?
Yeah. But walking around with a sagging diaper on while like all these women are like dressed to the nines fighting over whatever they're doing. It was the funniest situation ever.
I mean,
so maybe Julia is great for the show. Maybe we need Julia for the show.
Well, okay. Well, if we go back, starting at the beginning of the episode, we start with Adriana and the director of her music video. They're filming on the yacht. Well, my heart is breaking for Adriana the whole time. I'm just like, these girls do not want to do this. Like, even when Julia was like dancing at the front, she's like, and that's her best friend. Like, there's zero effort. All they want to do is get drunk and like call each other out on stuff.
Well, it's so funny because they expected us to take it seriously. Like the director's like, where are these women? Why aren't they? Whatever. I'm like, they're not being paid to be in Adriana's video. They're there to be paid for Housewives doing their thing. It's like they don't want to be in this video. It's so embarrassing. Also, like, that's something that lives forever. I get why Larsa doesn't want to be in Adriana's music video, and that's going to live on the internet forever. She's going to be made fun of.
I do like that she still showed up. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I thought it would have been a real bitch move to not even show up. But if you're like, listen, I don't want my likeness on this, but I do want to be here to support you, aka stir the shit with other women and create good television. Fine. I was fine with it. But the whole Kiki thing, Kiki is starting to, it's starting to get at me a little bit. Other than her Burger King, she was bugging me a touch.
I am like a fan of Kiki now. Kiki is like, I want to get a shirt with Kiki's face on it because I think that like she's really coming out of her shell. And like she says shit that I just laugh so hard at, but the Burger King changed everything for me. You know, it's like she was trying to stay skinny for the video. And then when she realized she wouldn't do the video anymore, she just started eating that hamburger. And it was so good. I love it so much.
But I was fine about Kiki, except then when they did the flashback, I don't know if it's for next week or whatever it was, but you see her yelling at the music director saying, you can't have me in this music video, any part of me, you have to blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, like Adriana has already said, like she's putting all of her money into this to make happen. And like, if there's a chance you're going to get mad and pull out of it and make cost somebody, that part annoys me. Like you did agree.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. The money was paid for. The money was, but you know what my thing is, since I love Miami so much, I went back to season one and started watching it from the beginning. And Adriana at the beginning, I'm not a fan. I'm sure people love Adriana. I'm sorry, but like she is so manipulative and like calculating to me. And the way that she's late to everything, that's one of my biggest pet peeves in the world. I'm early to everything. I respect
not me.
People. I respect
psycho.
People. But she, the way, I just don't think, I think she's a narcissist, a true narcissist. You know, it's like, so if you watch from season one, she does something in season one at one of her art shows that my jaw was on the ground.
What did she do? I need to go
she
back
had,
and watch.
She had an art gallery show happening and she had an artist who was showing there and she got in kind of a fight with the artist. And then to f- with him, she brought in another artist and showed off his work like during his show. It was the most disrespectful, grossest thing ever. And the artist's really good friend confronted her about it. And the way that she reacted, I was like, oh, this woman's not a good person. Like, she just plays like dirty, dark games. Like, it's, I don't know. I don't believe that big, bright smile she has, but well, she's good TV.
She's really going for it with the outfits too. Now that she's like, I mean, she was pretty much naked this entire episode. I was like, get it. While on the yacht, Alexia and Gertie start fighting over being hurt by each other. From both of them criticizing each other's parties, they're screaming, then crying, they hug it out. Once again, Marisol is the comedic relief in this scene when she's like, I'm so good at making drinks. I take people to all different levels. But like, that fight, I'm over that fight. I really am over this fight.
Well, I think that they're not, first of all, I don't think Gertie's very good at explaining herself. She like starts to say it and she doesn't really get it out. But I thought the scene was kind of hilarious how all of a sudden they're like crying and hugging with each other. But I don't think Marisol's very good at like speaking, or Gertie's very good at speaking her mind. And I don't think Alexia's a very good like listener and really understanding what is happening. So I think they needed that moment to go through. But I love them both. Those are two of my favorites on that show.
And did you think it was hot when Gertie's husband was putting on her leg cream with the gloves? Or were you like, why are you making him do this? Like,
No, we were laughing so hard in bed last night, Scoot and I, my partner, because he was like, that's literally us. I mean, it's just like, I think it was such a cute, like, bonding moment. You know, like, I have Scoot, like, trim the hairs that I have on my back, you know, and it's just like
sexy.
I think, yeah, exactly, right? But I think that was just like such like a relationship moment. Like, it was just cute. And I think that like that relationship, watching it, they really have a good dynamic. Like, he makes her feel really good, and she's the wild personality, so I can relate to that because I'm the loud, wild one in my relationship. Scoot's the quiet, sweet, steady one. So I thought that was actually like a beautiful moment.
And then because you were like the hair god, I have to say Nicole is meant to have short hair.
Oh my God. You're bringing up all my points right now. It changed her completely with that long hair. She just looked like a Vegas girl that like put her bad track in. Like, she's such a short hair girl. She is hot, by the way. And like,
hot.
Her house is the most beautiful house you've ever seen on Housewives. She has incredible style. Everything about her is just like cool. But those extensions, I was like, wow, that's a miss. Bad extensions.
Those were a miss. But where she really got me, and you know, she is definitely the voice of reason most of the time on this, you know, on Miami. But she said something about why she would continue working. And I'm going to get heat for this because whenever I say things like this, people get upset. But she said, this whole cheating thing is why I will never quit working. Because the only person you can ever really count on is yourself.
And what did that make you feel like?
It made me, I kind of feel the same way. You never know. So like putting all of your eggs into one person's basket and hoping that they're going to just take care of you for the rest of your life, or that you're a partnership. When things get ugly regardless. And like, I really was like, Nicole just put, like, now I get it. Because people, you know, will always send in messages and they're like, why does Nicole still do these 24-hour shifts and blah, blah, blah. She's with the richest guy on there. When she said, I'm like, oh yeah, well, obviously that's why I do too. You know, like, you just never know.
Absolutely. And I think that that's such like a powerful thing for women to have their own things. I also just think in a relationship, like, if both people get to come home and bring a conversation to the table other than just what they did around the house or whatever. Like, I love women or relationships where you find one partner who's like at home all the time and you figure out your things. But I think there's nothing wrong with thinking about the future and taking care of yourself. I think it's really, really smart.
And especially like, there's things that I'm starting to figure out as I get older, and like, you know, my parents get older, these types of things. Like, there's so much that you end up having to take care of as you become an adult. And you're like, wow, I wouldn't want to ask my partner for this. I want to be able to do this on my own.
Right. Yeah.
And help this person or do this or go on this trip, whatever it may be. But which brings me to the complete opposite type relationship, which is Lenny and Lisa. Lenny telling Page Six that he isn't getting a divorce from Lisa. They are all confused on why he would do that when he clearly told Lisa it was over. I'm so confused because now that you've told me you watched the first season, now I need more information.
Well, they don't come on till the second season, so I haven't got into them yet, but I'm really invested in this relationship, and I absolutely love Lisa. Like, I love her, and I feel so much for her. Like, this is real TV. Like, we're seeing this really happen, so it's painful to watch. But when that happened, that was months ago when they were filming. So maybe at that time he wasn't ready. Like, maybe it really,
but he
really
was still out partying at Formula, whatever, 51, whatever it's called.
Because he thought he could get away with it all. You know, it's like, he's just like, I think for a while, I don't know. I think that the real issue is that they were probably destined for a divorce for a really long time. And Lisa wasn't accepting it. Right. Yeah. But then when he actually kind of got caught and it broke out, why did he not just accept it? I don't know. Maybe at that time they were
having
different...
Maybe his lawyers told him not to say anything until they got, like, you know, the nesting and the money and the whatever figured out. But right. That whole situation, you can see how sad Lisa is this episode. Even that scene with her daughter, like, pulled on my heartstrings. And then she comes in and one of the girls said, you look so skinny. And she's like, well, I can't eat, you know, like, she's being authentic to what happened.
Oh yeah. It's like really happening. And the body thing was I did hair forever in LA, and I always knew when one of my clients was going through something really rough in a marriage, it was like the really quick weight loss, like,
or
that,
the,
like,
quick weight gain.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, that could happen too. But that breaks my heart. But I think that she is going to soar. I think she's going to meet someone great. I really hope she takes the time to herself. But she's already kind of dating
that
new
guy.
I know. But it's like that immediate thing. You want to go out and have hot sex, and you want to, like, be seen and act like you're doing really well. But I hope she takes time to herself and really figures out what she wants, because she's hot and she's special. She, like, brings a lot to the table.
Yeah. But then we get kind of into this.
He's disgusting, though.
He is so disgusting.
And that other woman, you know, like, I'm so protective of my girlfriends. And it's like, that other girl, like, who is in her life around her that's not like, you're disgusting. Like, what you're doing is absolutely disgusting. Like, if you want to be with Lenny, wait until everything plays out. Like, them going to clubs and stuff together. Like, that woman is so gross. Like, that is the worst kind of woman when you talk about, like.
Well, I have a question. Do you ever have moments with Scoot where you feel, like, insecure for, like, you're just, you have those, like, moments and you're like, can I see your phone, or can I do that? Do you ever have that? Are you 100% secure in your relationship all of the time?
I'm very, very honest, and Scoot and I aren't like that. We really, really trust you. But I have been. I've been in relationships before where, like, I would check the phone, and I was always nervous when we'd go out of town separately and whatnot. And that is the worst feeling in the world. You're constantly living with, like, anxiety. I could never be in a relationship like that ever. Like, that does not work for me. So no, we're not like that.
The only place that I'm like that a little bit, like, I am connected to Edwin's Instagram. So I can see his DMs come to both of us. And the things that strangers will just try to send.
Oh yeah, women with straight men, it's like crazy.
Especially if you've been in the public eye at any point in time, or people know you have money. And he's just like, it's better for you to have it, do what you want with it when it comes in. Like, I don't...
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, no, and actually, that actually happens a lot in the gay world too. My partner Scoot doesn't use Instagram, so he hasn't gone on it in years. So I don't worry about that. But yeah, and I mean, the messages that I get from other gay men, I get pictures of dicks all the time, like, yeah, people flirting. And I'm like, you can see I'm in a relationship, but people will try really nasty things in the DMs.
But people never try with me.
Because they think you'll talk about it. You'll out them on the podcast or something. You want it to happen so bad. You want somebody to slide in your DM so bad.
The only person, it's like, it's Jose Canseco, and it was a long time.
Oh my god.
Okay, but then in closing scenes for next week, you see everybody start to kind of get into it. And I really feel like Larsa has now become the Oprah of cheating accusations, because now she's going after Nicole. she says something along the lines of like, you slept with every doctor in the hospital. Like at this point, like, I'm glad she's showing up to get her mojito, but we can't accuse everybody of cheating on the same season. Let's like,
I
wait.
Know. Yeah. And when she said that, it like immediately gave me chills. Cause it's like, that's so gross. Also, whatever Nicole did before she was with her partner, like, that's no one's business. You know, you could have a slutty years, because she was essentially saying that like she slept with everyone at her, the doctors or whatever. But like, people, what they've done in their past, like, who cares?
Remember the dude that was the basketball player and he had just had the baby? Like, there was a whole bunch of scandal a couple years ago. So it's like, I don't know that we need to keep.
Yeah. So, I mean, Larsa's playing the game, but it's like, I don't like when people mess with people's relationships, because you can tell that Nicole and her fiance have like a really solid relationship, you know? And Larsa knows that's good TV. I think about that. That would be where I would lose my shit on a reality show, is my relationship with Scoot. If somebody tried to do that with us, like, all hell would break loose. So like, I really feel for that stuff. It's like, Larsa, don't go down that with someone.
Especially
like
if there's no truth to it. Like, you're just, I don't know. I just,
yeah,
that bug.
Like
that
what they're doing on Potomac, all that kind of stuff. It's like, you are messing with people's real lives. And then you start having like family members who don't watch the show who hear this gossip, and it starts turning into something. It's like, that's just
for
real
your kids.
Ugly.
It's forever going to be imprinted on the web. Yeah. And I don't know, but Miami is currently my favorite, because it used to be Potomac, but now Potomac's been a little these last couple
I know
weeks.
They're it's like when it's the fake storylines and they're bringing in weird random people to say random things because none of the other women will say it. It's
yeah,
like that's where I start to check
quick,
out.
I don't need to see seven strangers this episode. like, I'm good.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine. Hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, okay, let's talk. There's not that much with Salt Lake because we are still talking about the freaking eye.
And it kills me to no end, because it's like, this is when housewives really start to like get into murky waters. Like when they play these really dumb storylines and drag it out. Like, we're so smart as the audience now that it's like little things you could put it in like a, oh my God, what's going to happen next week or whatever, even though we already know. But they've dragged this out for four episodes. We knew from day one that it wasn't really anything big, but the way they're dragging it out. And I love Heather so much. I love Heather. I think she's such a great person, but I think she's sliding down that ugly area of housewife what they do when you start really playing the games. And I think that's what the problem is with Whitney and Heather. I think Whitney is her real good friend, and she's looking at her being like, you're playing the housewife game really dirty, and I don't know who you are anymore. Like, that's the feeling I get. Like, if I did a reality show with my sister, who I'm super close with, if I started playing games, my sister on camera would be like, Justin, who even are you? And what are you talking about? Like, that's the feeling I get, where it's like, you don't need to do that, Heather. You were already so loved. You had everything going for you in the housewife world.
But that's what happens. Once you're so loved, then you start thinking, oh, I can do this, I can do that. I can start manipulating what the audience sees and thinks. And it definitely, this episode just bugged me. What do you think actually? I mean, I'm sick of freaking talking about it, but what do you think happened to the eye? I saw that, what's his name? Why am I blanking on his name? I talked about him earlier too. He said he had direct knowledge from one of the housewives that she fell and hit her eye on the kitchen, on her sink faucet.
Yeah, I think that there was like a silly accident that happened. And then I think that she was like, oh, I'm going to turn this into a storyline. You know, if it, like, people are like, Jen hit her. If Jen hit her, they would deal with it in so many different ways. Then there's also people being like, oh, it's a Botox injury from her place and she doesn't want people to know. I'm like, who gets Botox in one eyelid? Like, first of all, you don't even put Botox in
that area. I think I may have said that it was like a filler issue. I was thinking that for a while. But because then there was the scratches or whatever. I think she was just drunk and out of control.
I think she was drunk. And if anything, maybe her and Jen were like rolling around having whatever a good time when they were drunk and she accidentally hit her or whatever. But I really think they got together and was like, oh, let's turn this into something. And it's just, it's so freaking fake. And like I was saying, we're all way too smart as the audience now that we're just annoyed. Or also then just lie and make something up. Be like, oh, I fell down and I hit my eye. Like, I don't know, like, why drag us through this? It's
annoying. And why be coy with everyone? And then why play games with Whitney and be like, I would tell you, but we're on a friend break. I didn't even know.
And also, can we also talk about the fact that, like, if we are talking about abuse of some sort, can we not be coy and playful about it? Like, so then what are you saying? You're protecting someone who abused you? Like, knock it off. This is so freaking weird. If you're protecting an abuse,
somebody that abused you that we now have found out is a convicted felon.
Yeah.
And all in all, asshole. Like, what's up with your judgment of character? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not looking good for the Heather Gay.
I mean, this is not good for her. It was hard for me to watch. I do think all this stuff with Dana, like, I think Dana and Angie K and Angie H should just all be named Angie, and then we can just easily talk about them all as they're one person and then go from there. Because
well, it's so, they're such like just like side characters or whatever, but I think they each kind of bring something good. Well, more Dana and Angie K, the brunette one. They bring something interesting, but I think that Jen is so over the top and like domineering that we're not even getting to see these girls' personalities yet. I think Jen leaving will really change the show, and I bet they're all freaked out, but I think like bigger personalities will start to rise. But I don't know.
My guess is going to be a big cast next season because it's so small this year.
Yeah, they have to bring in
housewives. They have to bring in some additional people. And kind of build off that, because Jen really is a huge part of the show, whether we like her or hate her.
Yeah, every episode, it's about somebody dealing with something with Jen, and she's always the loudest one at the table that no one else really gets to even say anything. So it'll be...
What do you mean? I'm Meredith, the star.
Oh my gosh.
Then we go to the fashion show, and Meredith's saying I'm not mad. They counted it, whatever it was, 8 I'm not mad. And Angie and Diana, that you can tell they're both just like, well, obviously you are mad. It's just there really wasn't much going on this episode for a little bit. I had like I don't know if you felt it, but I had kind of like that icky feeling a little bit. Like, I felt like sad when they kept panning to Meredith's nephew. Like, he seemed uncomfortable, and that like made that like pulled up my heartstrings. Like, I was like, that's one of those cases of like, are we showing too much on television?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's such a touchy subject. I think it's beautiful that they brought awareness to it, you know. But yeah, I was feeling the same. They just seemed like they didn't really want to be there. Something about Meredith's storyline is just kind of bizarre to me. It seems like everyone feels really forced from her family and stuff. But it's so weird because from season one, I was like, wow, Meredith is going to be like one of the strongest housewives ever. Like she really had this personality, but she's just kind of, she seems really uncomfortable on that show now. So it's like, it's hard for me to watch her. She just doesn't seem comfortable like at all.
I don't think she has a friend on there anymore, because remember, she used to be besties with Lisa Barlow. And now that they don't have that relationship, like,
yeah.
And you have to count as Jen Shah and now Luz Cannon. Heather Gay, like, you got some, like, there's some problems.
No, that is a messy cast to try to fit in with, because whenever I watch Housewives, I'm always like, who would I be sitting with at the table? And at Salt Lake City, I don't know, because now, like, it was always Heather Gay for me, but now I'm like, would Heather Gay turn on me in a second too? It's like none of them really feel like trustworthy, although I love Lisa, but I get why everyone, I don't know, Lisa has, maybe it's because Lisa's so real, you know, like I actually think Lisa's the most transparent and real, and you can tell that the bullshit really gets to her, but the rest of them really feel like game players to me, like they all play a dirty game and Lisa takes the brunt of it. I fucking love Lisa.
I love Lisa. I, you know, we all know from BravoCon, she was, we were obsessed with her. We had so much fun with her. She doesn't take herself too seriously. I think sometimes on the show, I get a little, when she's going on and on and on, she has a little bit of like Dorit in her, where the, like the story will continue on and you're like, yeah. Let's go. I don't care about that outfit.
I think the best housewives come when there's, first of all, narcissism works well on reality TV. And then people who are a little delusional. Like I love people with a little delusion. And there's some things that are like a little delusional about Lisa, but I love it. It's like, it's so innocent and playful. And so like, I love her. I think she's fabulous.
What did you think about Coach Shaw bringing the check to Angie K?
Well, the whole time, the only thing that I could think about is like, bitch, you need that money. You guys need to hold on to that money. Aren't you paying lawyers? And like, your kids are going to need like, new shoes for school next year. So like I thought they should have asked if they could have like done some gardening for them, you know, to like pay off their debt. But when he wrote that big check, like I was nervous. Like they don't have that money, do they? But I thought it was the big thing to do. I mean, I would do that. I would never, I'm so weird about owing anyone money.
No,
so
me
like
too.
I would, but Jen didn't want to pay it. I mean, let's be honest, Jed did not want to pay that. She knew what she was doing, but she got called out for it. So good for Angie K for calling her out. They should pay their bills, though.
They should. And but I felt the whole thing, it just felt, it didn't feel authentic. It felt very forced. It felt like, ugh, it didn't feel like a natural scene between friends that are close enough that you would say, I'm going to let you have a party at my house. Or you come, the way that they talked about the relationship, like it was.
Oh, yeah. No, it felt so weird. And like Jen was sitting there like Jen wanted to fight, first of all, but Angie handled it really well. Like she immediately was like, thank you so much. But our friendship is more important to me, whatever. But Jen wanted to fight. It wasn't like sweet and kind. Like I'd be mortified if I was handing it from like, oh, my God, I can't believe that we went without paying this. Like, here's the money, whatever. The whole interaction was really weird. It felt like a drug deal. Like it felt like one of Jen's shady business dealings, you know, like so it was not. It was very natural for Jen. You could see her like.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. It was is this episode. We're going to need to like kind of get through it. I don't care about the eye anymore. We need to keep it moving. And so I hope that's what's to come. But I wonder how much longer now that we know that Jen is guilty. She has been sentenced. How much longer are we going to play this game watching this?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But did you see that Demois posted that Salt Lake City is being put on pause and they don't know if it's going to come back?
I don't think that's true.
You don't?
No.
I mean, the details that they had were pretty dang specific. It was pretty wild.
I mean, I think everything is taking longer to cast right now because everything is a little bit pushed. Like when you talk,
yeah.
Each date is pushed a little bit. Like I think they've even started, they're starting Beverly Hills way later than they normally would have. I don't think Orange County's airing for a while. I think everything is a little pushed. And I think when you add in the law and people being sentenced. Like, I think that is, you know, but I don't know. I think they're, I don't know. I read something that they're kind of like already up and going, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, because
I would want to know their reactions in real time.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the only, if they're not filming now to get all of this, that like made me a little bit nervous. Like, oh, are they going to push this show off too long and then get rid of it? Because it's like, this is the stuff we want to see. We went through all of this. I want to see their reactions. But I guess they probably are having a hard time pulling together the right cast of like who the people are going to be.
Yeah, I know. Because you want it to at least feel a little bit authentic so it doesn't turn into like a Dubai situation.
Oh, my God.
But fan thoughts are, I am sick of Meredith's holier-than-thou persona. Heather is producing herself over it. Oh, my gosh, this part we didn't talk about. Jen Shaw's therapist. This person brought up was Jen Shaw's therapist on the Zoom, the same one that was at BravoCon. Yes, I met him. Yes, remember when Jen Shaw came to Tamara's room and then like used the glam and took the booze and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, he came with her, right?
Yes. So the guy, the security guard that's been taking Jen Shaw everywhere, like through the airport and all that kind of stuff, was in there, and so was the therapist. That's the therapist we met.
Oh my God. That scene was so painful to me. Her trying, like, she was just sitting there staring at the screen, like, how much longer do I have to do this? You know? But it's like, Jen, she's not taking accountability. She doesn't want to get to the bottom of it. It's just like, she's the last person I want to see in a therapy session.
I know. And that guy, and any therapist that's willing to travel with Jen Shaw, I'm not sure.
Like, what are your credentials? Bravo-Con?
Like, I. Let me see that. I want to see it on your wall in the frame.
He does not have a clientele if he's traveling like with Jen Shaw. Because also there's no future there, you know? So he's about to be out of work big time, you know?
Oh, what about when Whitney says, I maybe will do a conjugal visit? On a scale of 1 to 10, how drunk do you think she was?
Oh, my God. But she also like really believed her word. Even after, I don't think she got what she was really saying.
No, she didn't.
Like, yeah, she thought that was the right thing to say. God bless her. I love her.
I love her too. Yeah, she would be at my table with Lisa Barlow, just saying.
For sure. Thank God she's pretty, right?
You know, we can't win them all. I mean, me and Tamara can't even read. Jasmine, thank you so much for doing this recap with us. You made me laugh a lot, and you have so many hot takes. We love you over here at the Twats. Anything you want to share with us before we go?
No, just that like I love doing this. I love coming there, and I hope that everybody listening has an open mind. These are fun conversations. We don't have to fight. I really am so over the fighting with Housewives and Bravo. You know, like I love all the Bravo accounts on Instagram. I have fun following them all. But I'm getting to a place where I'm like, gosh, the fans of this show are getting so gross and like ruthless. Like we should be able to talk and we should be able to have favorites and not have people be like disgusted that you like a certain person. You know, it's like if you say you like Lisa Rinna, it doesn't mean that you want to be her or that you'd act the exact same way on the show.
Or that all of her behavior you're like co-signing on.
Exactly. You're saying that like, it's entertaining, you get it. And it's like, it's okay to disagree on Housewives. Like, let's just enjoy Bravo. You know, it's fun.
I mean, but even in real life, it's okay to be friends with somebody and not 100% agree with something that they're doing or they did.
Yeah, everyone has certain friends that they just kind of get a kick out of. Maybe they're trying to be a better example for that friend. You know, like I would be friends with somebody who's messy because I'd want to like make a positive impact on their life. It wouldn't last very long probably because I call people out for everything. But yeah, we all have friends who like get into sticky situations, who mess up, whatever. And it's okay for people to still deal with them. And these women are being paid to hang out together. So like chill the fuck out.
Yeah, calm down. Just have a laugh. Come over here and talk shit with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Justin.
I love you so much. I'll talk to you soon. Come to Nashville.
I'm ready.
All right, bye, baby.
Bye. The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galantine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villars sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Critics say you won't be able to tear your eyes away. Now, that is a good series if that's the case.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and it's incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage you can count on.
To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+, Banana Boat 360 coverage is a go-to in my house. I make sure to spray myself before I play outside with my kids. Shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.